present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Sheila Hancock in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And once again, I'm going to ask our four panelists to talk, if they can, on the subject that I will give them without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject on the card. Kenneth, an apt subject to start any program. Making a good start. Will you try and talk on that subject for 60 seconds, if you can, starting now?
Making a good start. Now, how many people must have revolved that question in their minds? Because it's almost, if you really think about it, something which inevitably crops up, no matter what avenue we explore. For the actor, the words for making a good start are already engraved by the bard, so to speak, upon his memory. Speak the speech, I pray you.
Sheila Hancock has challenged you.
Repetition of speak.
Yes, you did use the word speak before.
So to speak the speech, I pray you.
Well, I think that's very mean.
It's also rather clever, having listened so carefully.
I don't know why they have women on this show.
So you're making a good start with that one already.
Yes, back to the old battle cry. Sheila, you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that, of course, and you take over the subject, and there are 22 and a half seconds left. Making a good start, starting now.
Well, making a good start is a very important thing to do in any project you undertake, because if you do that, then you're not discouraged. For instance, the beginning of the day. If you make a good start with a day, you get up.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of day.
Yes,
you did have more than one day there. So, Peter, correct challenge to you, and there are 12 seconds left for you to talk on making a good start, starting now.
Get up about 6 o'clock in the morning and go for a swim round the lighthouse, have a rub down with a rough towel, and then a good English breakfast with lots of fried bacon and eggs, sausages, deviled kidneys...
Well, Ian Messiter, who not only keeps the time for us, but blows his whistle when 60 seconds is up, which tells us that that's the end of that round, isn't it? That's right, of course. And Peter Jones was speaking at that moment, and he gets an extra point for doing so. So, Peter, you're in the lead at the end of the first round, and we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is bubbles. You tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now.
My favourite bubbles are the ones that you find in champagne. They tickle my nose and make me giggly. They're quite unlike the ones that are to be discovered in mineral water, a very inferior type of bubble, this, and it doesn't have the same intoxicating effect as the ones in that marvellous wine from France. Now, if I were to choose a picture to hang in my bathroom, I'm changing the subject now, I would choose that marvellous picture of the little boy with the clay pipe and the bowl of soap suds blowing bubbles. It was used, I think, to advertise a well-known brand of toilet soap at the turn of the century. And if I had a lot of money and was able to furnish my house in a way that I feel I'm entitled to, but owing to circumstances I'm very rarely able to...
Sheila Hancock challenge.
Deviation. He's talking about his financial situation, not bubbles.
I think he's talking about furnishing his house, and
he's,
I do agree.
He's going on about how he would like to furnish it, but he hasn't got the finance to do it. That's nothing to do with bubbles.
I agree with your challenge. You've got him with 3.5 seconds to go on the subject of bubbles, and you start now.
The sort of bubbles I can't stand are those things you buy that children blow through a ring.
Well, Sheila Hancock was speaking then when the whistle went, so she got the extra point and she's taken the lead at the end of the round. And Sheila, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject, taps. We've been in the bathroom once, we're going to stay there, obviously, with taps, starting now.
I've always had... Oh, yes, it was.
Can you present a chance?
Hesitation.
No.
Unquestionably hesitation.
1 second.
There you are, hesitation.
And she's a guest as well.
Guest? What are you talking about? A guest?
She's been
on
the guest,
it time in, time out.
As a guest, she's played the game more than our other guests, but she's still a guest.
And she's also in the lead.
I didn't hear that one.
She's in the lead as well.
And she's in the lead. Well, she usually is, isn't she? You know, she's pretty competitive, old Sheila.
Yeah.
Right, young Sheila, I'm very sorry.
Old Sheila, I had a birthday last Tuesday.
Young Sheila, will you continue with the subject, having got a point for a wrong challenge? And there are 59 seconds left, taps starting now.
I would very much like to have gold-plated taps in my bath. I think that would be sumptuous and glamorous. The sort of taps I wouldn't like to have in my bathroom are the ones that you find in America that are the sort of things that they had in Watergate, where you have little sinister things plugged into your wall and anything you say is then relayed to spies and used in evidence against you. As a child, I had taps on my shoes and used to do dancing all over the place. Pretty bad I was at it, too. However, it is a form of dancing that's not a feat.
Clement Freud has challenged.
After that.
Firstly, hello. And secondly, she repeated dancing.
Yes, she did indeed. Clement,
there
hello to you.
There are other things I could mention, but there seems no point.
You've obviously been saving it all up because it's about to flow forth with 22 seconds on taps starting now.
The best known and most popular taps are called foie
or... Peter Jones.
Hesitation.
Yes, he couldn't quite get out the best known and most popular form of tap. There are 17 seconds for taps, Peter, starting now.
It's also a tune which is played in America on occasions equivalent to the ones where they play over here the last...
Sheila Hancock.
Repetition of play.
No.
Yes, there's to more than one play there. Sheila, you listen very well. 9 seconds, taps, starting now.
There is a...
Clement Freud.
Hesitation.
Yes, I agree, Clement. 7.5 seconds, taps, starting now.
Cold and hot, the appellations which I was searching for when I was very rudely interrupted. Water which is below 32...
Well, Clement got the point on that occasion for speaking as the whistle went. He's in second place with Peter Jones. Sheila Hancock's still in the lead. And Kenneth Williams is trailing a little. Clement Freud, will you begin the next round? The subject,
yes.
Travel. Just a minute on the subject of travel, starting now.
It is generally said that travel broadens the mind, which is why I got rid of much of my hair in order that I would be able to indulge in this pastime of which Thomas Cook is probably the greatest opponent. I have been to almost every country in Europe with the exception of Albania, and if anyone from there is listening, I'd be awfully grateful if they would invite me because it would finish my collection. I have started in Iceland and been to Finland, Denmark, Sweden, Germany, East and West, Hungary, Yugoslavia, and I enjoyed Belgrade almost more than any other place because Buda and Pest are infinitely inferior. London, England, Edinburgh in Scotland, and Northern Ireland as well as the southern part have their attractions to the tourist, and agents of all kinds will send you across the Atlantic where the new world beckons.
Well, yeah. Clement Freud is making up for his early silence, and he took the subject of travel, kept going for 60 seconds without being interrupted and without repeating or deviating or hesitating, so he has 1 point for speaking as a whistle went and 1 point for not being interrupted. Clement, you're in the lead now with Sheila Hancock, and Kenneth, we're back with you to begin. The subject, Euclid. Will you tell us something about him in just a minute, starting now?
Well, he was a Greek, and he taught mathematics in that incredible city of learning, Alexandria. It is probable that he founded the department that dealt exclusively with axiomatic geometry, dealing with the plane, the solid three-dimensional figure, and, of course, the sphere. It does not, however, embrace the much later theories of topological measurement, which comes after that incredible man, Rainier. And, of course, I am deviating from
Clement
the subject.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of course.
Of course, you are right. And there are 18 seconds left on the subject of Euclid for you, Clement, to continue starting now.
I'm always fascinated by Euclid among other Greek learned people who seem to get their ideas predominantly while sitting in a bath. Pythagoras' theory was one of the many...
Kenneth Williams, Sutton.
Well, deviation, we're really discussing Euclid. We're not discussing Pythagoras. He's already discussed Archimedes, so we have really gone a long way from the original subject.
Yes, but he only just said Pythagoras. He was probably going to say Pythagoras was not the same as Euclid or something similar. You do have to give him a second to establish whether he's going to deviate, which
but
I don't
if
think
he
did.
Just reels off a lot of Greek names with many syllables, I mean, it's so boring and it just fills up the time without
precisely,
giving us any information.
Precisely. I'm here. We're here.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to be generous to you, Kenneth, and a bit harsh on Clement, because it was your subject to start with, and say you have 5 seconds to take back the subject of Euclid, starting now.
Well, Euclid said, you know, and a very interesting proposition it was, that if you measured everything...
Well, Kenneth Williams...
That was fascinating.
And he was also speaking when the whistle went, so he got that extra point. So they've all got one for speaking as the whistle went. Kenneth, alas, is still in fourth place, one behind Peter Jones and three behind Sheila Hancock, and Clement Freud is now ahead in the lead. And Peter, your turn to begin. The subject, life after marriage.
No.
What an interesting subject that Ian's thought of there. Will you talk about it in just a minute, starting now?
Well, I'm not quite sure whether the questioner is asking, does it exist in the same way as life after death? But I think perhaps I am entitled to have an opinion on this subject, and I would say that after the first 25 years, there's no question that there is some vestige of life still going on. Now, if you take a number of couples...
Kenneth Williams,
hesitation.
No, I disagree.
If you take a number of couples...
No, he slurred one word... No, it wasn't a definite hesitation.
Well, it was a bit of a hesitation, but not much.
No, but...
I think for his age.
That's right. Well, I mean, Kenneth Williams can hesitate in the middle of a one-syllable word.
My legs are not what they were.
So, Peter, you keep the subject. You have a point for that wrong challenge, and there are 37 seconds. Life after marriage, starting now.
Well, the first thing to do, once you've got married, is to try and breathe some life into this union. Now, I suggest you invite a few friends round, never mind even if it is the honeymoon, and have a real party. I mean, let alone the wedding breakfast, don't have much to do with the formal aspects of it, but just neighbours and people you've known for some years, if you can get them, persuade them to come round. And,
Clement Frost.
Hesitation.
No, he did repeat come round. I thought that's what you're going to challenge for.
Is
no,
he done?
No, he did the arm. I
yes,
didn't.
Armand stopped. Otherwise, there was hardly any hesitation at all. for a man of his age.
I don't think that Parsons is even listening to you. You should take him away somewhere, the Middlesex or something.
Well,
you
might
realize... be logging or something. His adrenaline flowing, I think.
I had said come round before, you see, and I thought, are they listening or have they all nodded off?
Yes.
Because nobody's challenging this repetition.
Exactly, Peter.
And I knew
reckon...
you were listening very faithfully, Mr. Chairman. I certainly do applaud.
Talk about crawler. What a crawler he is.
I've always admired the way you remain alert.
Daddy, got his bootlaces in his mouth, he has, hasn't he?
Peter, you have 12 seconds to continue with life after marriage, starting now.
And when life after marriage expands and little tots are tramping around the upper floors in hobnailed boots and...
So Peter Jones started with the subject of life after marriage, and in spite of many interruptions, kept going. He got points for those and for one for speaking when the whistle went, so he's now equal in the lead with Clement Freud. Sheila, we're back with you to begin, and the subject is wits. So from taps to wits, can you talk on these short subjects in just a minute, starting now?
It's a good subject to speak on at the moment because I've just come back from America where I was staying at the Algonquin Hotel, where used to meet Dorothy Parker and Kaufman and Robert Benchley and the well-known wits of New York, and indeed the founder of the New Yorker magazine. And I must say I felt very much their presence and read quite a lot about it, and I can't now think of a single thing they said, apart from the aforementioned ladies.
Clement Freud.
I've just thought of something they said.
So have I.
Which was quite funny.
What was it?
It was George Kaufman who was invited to upstate New York to look at Hartz, his ex-colleague's new house, which he had built regardless of expense and planted in the garden some 350 beech trees which were fully grown. And having shown Kaufman all round it, Hart said, "Do you like it?" And Kaufman said, "It's just how God would have done it if he'd had the money."
Well, thank you for that contribution, Clement. Good. It was delightful, but...
I'll go now.
It wasn't a correct challenge, alas, so Sheila still has the subject of wits, and there are 35 seconds left, starting now.
I've just thought something that the aforementioned lady said when asked to comment on somebody's performance, said she ran the gamut from A to B. However, I can only think of one other comment, which I think was said by one of them when asked about... No, it wasn't them. It was somebody else much later.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes.
Well, it was repetition of it was, etc. Yes.
Well, he didn't
well, I mean,
say
she started to say something, and she said, no, it wasn't. I mean, that doesn't
sound
hesitation.
Like hesitation. I carried on.
No, she didn't actually hesitate, Peter. She repeated it was, now.
She was about to tell us something, and then she stopped and went on to something
else. I didn't stop.
But
I
she didn't
stop.
Actually hesitate,
I
you
went
see.
On.
This is the thing. She went on, but she did repeat it was, as if, now, when, things like that. So that was an incorrect challenge. If you'd said repetition, I'd have granted it.
Yes, well, I think you're such an excellent chairman that I'm sure that you're absolutely right.
18 seconds are left for wits, Sheila, starting now.
I've just thought of a rather witty film criticism. When asked to comment on the film Ben-Hur, somebody said, "Loved Ben, hated her." And also, "I am a camera, me no liker." I'm desperately trying to think of something that Bernard Shaw... I feel very ashamed. All the witty things that people have said, and I couldn't think of anything.
Sheila, you've taken the lead at the end of that round, and Kenneth Williams, your turn to begin. The subject, contrast. Will you tell us something on that in just a minute, starting now?
There is a notable theory of philosophy maintaining that this is the very way in which definitions themselves, nomenclatures, are arrived at. Thus, hot only is possible because of cold. Thus, contrasts make the very essence of what you are supposed to be discussing. Earlier on, when my lovely colleague, Miss Sheila Hancock...
Sheila Hancock has challenged you.
Deviation, he must have gone mad. He never says anything nice to me.
I know.
Just give me a point.
But the only thing I can say is that he must be illustrating the subject because he's such a contrast. I mean, one minute he's saying that I'm the best chairman in the world, and the next minute I'm rubbish.
Yes. Just so desperate to keep going, he was prepared to say anything.
And we often have women on the show, and the next minute I'm his lovely colleague. What more of a contrast could you say?
Anyway, Kenneth, I disagree with the challenge, so you have another point, and you have 26 seconds contrast starting now.
Thus, and very often, wit is itself an example of contrast. So we hear of a famous impresario saying to the young Osmond boy, "You have Van Gogh's ear for music." I put me off now.
Clement Freud challenged you when you were put off.
Well, I was going to say my lovely colleague Sheila Hancock was instancing wit, and I was going to go on to that, you see. But then, of course, I was going to try and do a contrast and that another kind of wit, but I didn't get a chance because he came in there and ruined it.
You got a bigger laugh than you expected on the Van Gogh.
Yeah,
yes. Clement, your challenge?
Hesitation.
Yes, and there are 5.5 seconds contrast starting now.
I used to buy boxes of chocolates, which were milk and plain, but...
Clement Freud got a point for speaking when the whistle went. And a round of applause, because I think everybody in the audience knew to what he was referring. And he's back in the lead, this time alongside Peter Jones. And Peter, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is keeping pigs. Why Ian Messer should want you to talk on that, I've no idea. But will you try in Just a Minute, starting now?
Well, it's a strange coincidence, but last time I was on Just a Minute, I was asked to say something about pigs. And after the performance, one of the members of the audience met me outside, and she said there was a man in Wiltshire who used to wash his pigs every morning, and then he used to run around the field with them until they dried off. She said, I thought you'd be particularly interested in this because you mentioned Wiltshire in your...
Clement Freud.
Price. Repetition of Wiltshire.
Yes, I'm afraid you mentioned Wiltshire before.
Well, that was last week, wasn't it?
No. The man was from Wiltshire, but you told us at the beginning that the man came from Wiltshire.
Yes.
Pity, isn't it? 35 seconds, keeping pigs, Clement, starting now.
Keeping pigs and playing Just a Minute are two of my less favourite occupations, not necessarily in that order. The favourite pigs in my part of the country, which is East Anglia, are called long whites, which is an extraordinary terminology because the animals themselves are extraordinarily dirty. Perhaps the worst thing about keeping pigs is eating pork. This is something which simply doesn't go with the other, because if you enjoy...
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation. The subject is keeping pigs, not eating food. I mean, the two things are quite different.
Yes, well, all right. Some people who keep pigs do eat pork, but I think he was onto the subject of eating pork, so I give you the challenge, and there are 3 seconds left, starting now.
You've got to give them all the old muck you can find and...
So Kenneth got the point for speaking as the whistle went, and alas, he's still in fourth place. The other three are out in the lead, and there's about 1 point separating each one of them, with Clement just in the lead. Sheila Hancock, your turn to begin the subject, the deadliest of the seven sins.
Deadliest.
The deadliest of the seven sins. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I am frantically trying to think what the seven deadly sins are. I seem to remember one of them is avarice, in which case I will choose that because I can't think what the other six are anyway.
Kenneth Williams' challenge.
Well, she said it before, she couldn't remember what they are. Now she said again, she can't remember what they are.
That's right, she repeated herself. And so you take over the subject, Kenneth, and there are 49 seconds left on the deadliest of the seven sins, starting now.
It's pride and wrath and envy and...
Sheila Hancock challenge.
He's listing them. He's not saying the deadliest one.
I quite agree. A very good challenge. Deviation. 43 seconds, the deadliest of the seven sins, starting now.
Because I think wanting things that are not your own has probably been the downfall of our civilization. I'm keeping going, you notice. I'm not hesitating, despite Kenneth Williams' avarice of wanting to get the point
Clement
from
Freud
me.
Challenged.
Repetition of avarice.
Yes, you repeated avarice, alas. I'm sure the other... This interjection didn't help you, Sheila. Bad luck.
Really,
for those of you at home who wonder might what be happening, it is Kenneth Williams having one of his little turns. He's absolutely fallen about with glee at the thought of his response to his comments. There are 26 seconds left on the subject. For you, Clement, the deadliest of the seven sins starting now.
To my mind, the deadliest of the seven sins is gluttony. Bread and butter and margarine and marmalade, jam, peaches, cream, sausages.
Peter Jones has challenged.
He's just giving a list again.
Repetition.
I agree with you that he was deviating. He wasn't going on the subject of the deadliest of the seven sins. He was giving a list.
And he even mentioned jam and marmalade, so he repeated preserves.
That is... Surely gluttony is the repetition of preserves.
But I wouldn't have thought those very modest things like bread and butter would be called gluttony if you stuff yourself
you're
on those.
You're having enough of it.
Modest. No, I think Peter has a good challenge there. We were deviating, and there are 17 seconds. The dead list of the seven sins, Peter, starting now.
I think sloth is by far the deadliest of all these seven sins, none of which is very attractive. But lying in bed and refusing to get up and not going to work and not cleaning your bedroom or living room and generally...
Clement Freud.
Not.
not. You did not a bit. You got a bit knotted there, Peter. And Clement has got in with 1 second to go on the dead list of the seven sins, starting now.
Gingerbread.
And I've received a message that we have no more time to play just a minute, so let me give you the final score. Kenneth Williams, in spite of his excellent contributions as usual, finished in fourth place. He was a little way behind our guest Sheila Hancock in third place. She was a little way behind Peter Jones, who just finished behind this week's winner, Clement Freud. Well, we hope you've enjoyed the contest, we hope you've enjoyed the game, and we'll want to tune in again. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Brough.